But let me say welcome to Union University. We are glad that you're here, and we are thankful that the Lord has brought you to this place. I know that you have looked forward to this day for a long time. Students, you probably have been counting the days this summer as you've been thinking about this day coming to this place. Parents, you knew this day was coming. It probably seems like only weeks ago that you were buckling your student into the car seat, right? But you're here now, and we who are a part of Union University, we are thankful. We have been looking forward to this day. We've prayed for you specifically by name, and we realize that it is not an accident that we are in this room together and we're beginning this year together today. Arriving at the university, it marks a significant change in your life. In just a little over an hour, you're going to begin a new schedule, a new routine. You're going to have new friends. There are going to be new challenges. There are going to be new responsibilities. There are going to be new everything. One of the newest changes in your life you will experience tonight, and that is your living arrangements. If you think about it this way, students, all your life, you've lived with your parents and you've visited your friends. But now, you live with your friends and you visit your parents. Pretty good, eh? Yeah. Some of you are going to experience during your time at Union University one of the most significant changes. You're going to find the person that you're going to marry and spend the rest of your life. There's a guy back in the back saying, yeah, I've already seen her. I know exactly who it is. It may very well be that you are sitting in the room tonight with the person that God has for you. You may find it hard to believe, and you may not realize it yet, but there are ways that you can tell that you are a college student. You've been preparing all summer. You've been getting ready for this. You've been talking about it. Your parents have been talking about it, and you're sitting there tonight thinking, I'm here, but I'm not sure that it feels like I'm a college student yet. Let me just share with you a couple of ways that you can know that you are a college student. If your motivation to wash clothes is only because you don't want to wear a pair of dirty socks again for the fifth time in a row, you may be a college student. If your idea of a square meal is a box of Pop-Tarts, you may be a college student. If you leave for a road trip with several friends and have no idea of where you're headed, you may be a college student. Number seven, if you average 4 hours of sleep a night, are there any upperclassmen that can give me an amen to this? Yes. Okay. Number six, if you are going to bed when most people are getting up, you may be a college student. Number five, if you get the urge for a chili cheese burrito with jalapenos at 3 a.m, you may be a college student. Hopefully that won't happen tonight, but it may happen. If you'd rather eat off a Frisbee than wash dishes, you may be a college student. Dr. Dockery, some of them are saying, you know, I can feel it right now. I'm becoming a college student. Number three, if you wear the same pair of jeans 13 days in a row without washing them, Dr. Duchesne in the counseling center needs to talk to you. Number two, if your idea of doing your hair is putting on a baseball cap, you may be a college student. And most importantly, if you are having the time of your life at Union University, you are a college student. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. You know, one of the most powerful things in the world is an idea. One of the most life-shaping, universe-altering things in the world is an idea. This year that we're in marks the 50th anniversary of a significant year for the civil rights movement in American history in 1963. It was an important time in the life of our country. A couple of decades before that, a man named Branch Rickey was the president, and he was the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he had an idea. He had a compelling idea. He had a transforming idea. And that idea changed the face not only of baseball, but that idea changed the face of America. And in many ways, America looks like it does now because of the idea that Branch Rickey had. It was on August the 28th, 1945, that Branch Rickey signed a contract with a man named Jackie Robinson. About a year and a half later, on April the 15th, 1967, 1947, Jackie Robinson ran out to first base on Ebbets Field as a Brooklyn Dodger. And forever, baseball was changed, and Branch Rickey was used single-handedly to thrust baseball to the forefront of the civil rights movement in America. And life as we know it has changed. Branch Rickey had an idea. And it is an idea that compels the work of Union University. It is an idea that causes many in this place to get up out of bed and do what they do. It is an idea of seeing young people prepared to think and live Christianly in the world. There are many people on this campus who give their lives so that you might be prepared to enter into the world and think and live Christianly in the world. And it's our belief that if a person thinks and acts Christianly, not only will they be different, they will make a difference in the world, wherever they may find themselves. All of life is lived for God's glory. Whether during this time you choose to be a musician or a teacher or a nurse or a politician or a lawyer or a scientist or a historian or a physician or the list goes on, God, it is He who has created you. It is God who has brought you to this place, and it is God who is preparing you for the future. If we live to be 75 years old, let's just pick that number. If we live to be 75 years old, then that means that we will live 28,000 days. 28,000 different days. Now, most of you, you've already lived 6,500 of those days. Okay? Coming to Union, you're going to be associated with Union University for about 1,300 days. About 1,300 days. That's what you're going to spend here. That's the time that you're going to spend here. And the question is, how are you going to spend those 1,300 days? Out of your 28,000 more or less days on this earth, how are you going to spend the 1,300 days that you have here at Union? The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. I would encourage you this morning, this evening, to make the best use of the next 1,300 days. Make the best use of what God has provided for you. Be a good steward of this experience. Understand that God is the one who is working. Let me just say three things about this experience, about these years that you're going to be spending at Union University. The first thing that I would say to you this evening is lean in to your university experience. Lean in. Don't sit back. Engage. Jump in. Take part. Get involved. Take advantage of all that God has gathered here. There are friends and there are activities and there are faculty members and there are ideas here that God has waiting for you, and He's going to use all of this experience to sharpen you and to develop you into the person that He has designed you to be. Lean in. Resist the temptation to sit back. Resist the temptation to fold your arms and watch, but lean in and be a part of what God is doing on this campus. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." This is not an option for the believer. Growth is not. Discipleship. He doesn't say, if you're really spiritual, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or consider thinking about growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's not in the subjective. It is in the imperative. It is a command. Grow. You have the responsibility to grow, and you have the responsibility to grow, and you have the responsibility to grow, and I have the responsibility to grow. And God is using these years that you have as an opportunity for you to grow in Him. There is no coasting in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." But there's no coasting. Come to Union University, take advantage, lean into all that is here, and be a part of what God is doing. Lean in not just by participating in activities. Yes, you should do that. Be involved. But lean in and start being a part now of what is the compelling idea of this place. The compelling idea of Union University. The idea of thinking Christianly about all things. Of taking captive every thought and submitting it to the lordship of Christ. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And loving God with all your mind means thinking God's thoughts after Him. It means that we take every thought, we take everything that happens, and we think Christianly about it. Everything. No coasting. We engage. We think Christianly. My wife and I have 5 children. They're 9, 7, 5, 4, and 10 months. And they're all boys. The socks are beginning to stink at our house. It's a wonderful life, and we are trying to impress on our boys 2 things. 1, the power of words, and 2, the power of grace. The power of words and the power of grace. The power of words. We want our boys to understand that words have power, that there's meaning to words, that words have the ability to give life, and that words have the ability to take away life, the writer of Proverbs says. We want them to understand that a word is not an idle thing. We want them to be careful with their words. We want them to understand the power of those words. We also want our boys to understand the power of grace. We want them to live in our home, and we want them to experience a graceful parenting. And we want them to live a life of grace. We want them to understand the power of grace, not only in our family's life, but in our church's life and in this place that we live. A couple of nights ago, we were engaged in bath time. Bath time takes a while at our house. And we've realized that if you put a couple of boys in the tub together, it cuts down on the water bill, okay? So the other night, 2 of the boys were in the tub, and they were playing with the bubbles, you can see there. They were having a good time, a great time. And the younger boy, my wife and I were standing in the bathroom. We were getting a lot of stuff done. We were getting settled for the night. And the younger boy said to the older boy, "I'll give you $5 if you eat the bubbles." And then he looked at us through the bubbles. Like, "Ooh, did I just say that?" And he looked at us like, "Are you going to make me do what I said?" The older brother, who is no dummy, started eating bubbles. He started eating the bubbles. And we realized that we had a situation on our hands. Because we've been talking to the boys about the power of words, and all of a sudden he said, "I'll give you $5 if you eat the bubbles." And the other one started eating the bubbles, and we said, "Well, we're going to follow through with what we said." They got out of the tub, and as they were getting dried off, we took, to the younger boy, we took Galatians chapter 6. And we sat down with him and we said, look at what the Bible says here. You reap what you sow. If you sow, you're going to reap that. And we tried to help him understand that if that is in fact what you've sown, then you're going to reap that. We took to the other boy, Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus tells the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know the story about the servant who was forgiven a great debt, an incredible debt. He fell and asked for forgiveness, and he was granted forgiveness. And then he actually went to one of his servants, and he grabbed him and choked him and said, pay me, pay me, pay me. And the master heard about what he did, and he said, And God's given us that parable. Jesus told that parable to show that we as God's people are to be graceful people. So we gave one Galatians 6, we gave the other Matthew 18, then we said, do the best thing. Do the right thing. The next morning, the boys got up, and the older one came down and he said, Daddy, I think I've decided what I'm going to do. I said, all right, what are you going to do? He said, I'm only going to make him pay me $2. Now, it would have been a much better story if he would have forgiven the debt completely. But I tell you that story to say that when you are a follower of God, you think Christianly even about bubbles. You take captive every thought. You take captive every experience, and you bring it to the submission of Christ, and you think about it as God would have you think about it. Engage in your university experience. God has given you this time. At Union University, you will be encouraged to think Christianly about all things. Lean in, engage your mind, think, learn to think as God would have you think. Love God with your mind. The second thing that I would say to you, in addition to leaning into your university experience, is realize that God uses all your experiences as a part of your overall university experience. God uses all of your experiences as a part of your overall experience. Already, you've had experiences today. Tonight is an experience. After we leave this place, you're going to have many more experiences. This semester is full of experiences. And God, in His sovereignty and His grace, will use all of those experiences to make your university experience. This is one of my favorite images. It is a mosaic of the Mona Lisa. You may not be able to see it as clearly from where you are, but it's a picture of the Mona Lisa, but it's made up of many, many different pictures. You'll see the outset of her eye there, and you'll see those different pictures. In many ways, your university experience is like this picture of the Mona Lisa. Tonight, we're having one little picture experience. Tonight we're experiencing this. After we get finished here, you're going to have another picture to add to the collection. And God is going to use all of those things to create a mosaic called your university experience. In Genesis chapter 37, the end of Genesis, Genesis 37 through 50, there's the story of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And Joseph, when you read that passage, those 14 chapters, you see lots of little pictures. You see the little picture of Joseph being his father's favorite child. You see the little picture of Joseph being hated by his brothers, of Joseph being thrown into a pit, of Joseph being sold into slavery, of Joseph living in Potiphar's house, of Joseph being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, of Joseph being thrown into prison, of Joseph staying there for 2 years, of Joseph being raised to be a leader in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and Joseph administrating the famine. And then there's the little picture of his brothers coming to him and saying, we are your servants. And Joseph, in a sense, backs up and says, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God works all things together for his good. He will take your experiences and he will use them in such a way that he will sharpen you and he will develop you and he will make you into the person he has called you to be. The third thing that I would say to you is while you're at Union University, practice the spiritual disciplines. In the midst of all that is going on, practice the spiritual disciplines. When I talk about the spiritual disciplines, we're talking about specific practices which increase our awareness of the presence of God and cause us to learn his ways. Specific practices which increase our awareness of the presence of God and cause us to learn his ways. It is the spiritual disciplines that serve as the means by which we experience his grace. It is the spiritual discipline that is the avenue through which we are transformed by God. Paul would say it this way, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I've always thought that Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is a wonderful verse. It's an interesting verse too. The Bible commands us to do something that we do not have the ability to do ourselves. We cannot be transformed. We cannot transform ourselves. It can only be done to us. And yet we are told to do it. It is through the spiritual disciplines that God transforms us. It is through Bible reading and prayer and worship and service and evangelism and witnessing and fasting and silence and solitude. Practice the spiritual disciplines while you are here. During these 1,300 or so days, make sure that you carve out time in your schedules, in your life, when you practice the spiritual discipline. I have with me here tonight one of these. It's a cell phone. Did you know that they make, this is going to be new for some of you, but did you know that there is an off button on the phone? You can actually turn this thing off. And then after you turn it off, you can turn it back on. You know what, do you know one of the most spiritual things that you'll do while you're at Union University? Turn your cell phone off. Turn it off. Turn it off and put it down. And listen to God. Practice the spiritual disciplines. I would encourage you to incorporate what I call the Zacchaeus principle in your life. Do you remember that story in Luke chapter 19? Jesus goes to Jericho. And there's this wonderful story about Jesus meeting Zacchaeus, a man who climbed up in a tree, and Jesus said, "You come down, for I'm going to your house today." And the wonderful grace of salvation coming to Zacchaeus, incredible. What is amazing is that Zacchaeus got up in the tree in the first place. Now, the Bible says he was short of stature. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But do you realize what Zacchaeus did? Zacchaeus disciplined himself, and he did the work of climbing up in the tree so that he might see Jesus. Now, there are trees all over this campus. There are trees in this chapel. There are trees in classrooms. There are trees in the Brewer Dining Hall. There are trees all over where you can have a look at Jesus. But don't miss the opportunity to steal away during your time here. Climb up in the tree so that you can see God better. About 1,300 days, the clock begins ticking now. There's coming a day when your university experience will be over. But it may very well be that God will use these 1,300 days in a way that will transform the rest of your 28,000 days. For the sake of God's glory, we pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for this gathering. We're thankful that you have allowed us to be in this place this evening. We're thankful that you allow us to take part in something as wonderful as what is called Christian higher education. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be at Union University. Lord, our ultimate desire is for your glory. And we pray that what begins tonight in the lives of these students would truly have worldwide impact. Bless these students. Bless these parents. Oh Lord, would you bless Union University? And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.